last night we started discussing, we first set up the sugya, we just pointed out the two gemaras that discuss this sakana issue related to mezuzah, lan beis and beis, lan gimel and beis, and in general, when approaching the sugyas of mezuzah, it's not really arranged in the gemara topic by topic, so what I would really recommend going forward is to just really read through the gemaras, basically through, let's say, lamed aleph lamed aleph. And then we can go through inyan by inyan, and we can figure out which gemaras belong where as we go through by inyanin. But starting lamed aleph and beis, then we really get into tefillin already. So, but mezuzah through lamed aleph and amud aleph, if you just read through the gemaras lamed gimel and amud aleph and beis, lamed aleph and amud aleph, then we'll be more prepared to discuss the halachos of mezuzah. But we're still setting up the first siman in Hilchos Mezuzah, siman Resh Pei Hei, which is the siman that's all about the importance of mezuzah, the value of mezuzah, the need for mezuzah. So we pointed to two gemaras last night, one that refers to a sakana, and the other one on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis that tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us protection through the mezuzah. The mezuzah at the Pesach HaBayis gives us protection. So Rashi held that those two gemaras are very much connected to each other. The sakana of not having a mezuzah is the lack of protection. That is the sakana. And Tosus thought, no, the two gemaras are totally unrelated to each other. But that launched us into a discussion of the importance of mezuzah, what the benefits and values of having mezuzah are. So we read the Rambam last night, where the Rambam was very clear about it not being really a mystical issue. It's much more just an inspirational kind of thing. You come into the house, you see a mezuzah, and you realize you're wearing tzitzis, and you're wearing tefillin, and you're surrounded by mitzvos, and the being surrounded by mitzvos should remind you, and particularly the mezuzah, should remind you that Hashem loves you and that Hashem is protecting you, and that should cause you to want to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do mitzvos and ma'asim tovim and chas v'shalom. One could never do an avera if they have a mezuzah on their door, because how could you do an avera with a reminder right in front of you? Right, that's the Rambam's very practical understanding of the value of mezuzah. And we pointed out the Sefer HaChinuch, who says that you should realize that mezuzah is a mitzvah. Every single second, every second that you have the mezuzah on the door is a mitzvah. Every second you don't have the mezuzah on the door is a bittul mitzvah. And that led us into the comment of the Minchas Chinuch, which I think is a fascinating comment, where the Minchas Chinuch says, wow, if every single second that you don't have a mezuzah is a bittul mitzvah saseh, and every single second that you do have a mezuzah is a kiyum mitzvah, then it could be mezuzah breaks all the normal rules of mitzvahs. Normal rules of mitzvahs are that you don't spend exorbitantly on a mitzvah. Hamevazvez al yivazvez yosem yichomesh. We pointed out yesterday that even though the original context of that gemara, not to spend more than 20% on a given mitzvah, is really about tzedakah, but Achronim assume that it relates to all mitzvos. You never are supposed to spend more than 20% of your money on mitzvos. The Aruch HaShulchan, as we pointed out, is even more cautious about how one should spend, and says that no, 20% is way too much. That's for tzedakah. For other mitzvahs, don't even come close to that. It should be much less. You should spend much more moderately on mitzvahs. But says Minchas Chinuch, that's when your mitzvah is a mitzvah. But when the mitzvah is every single second, and every second that you don't do it, you're being mevatel a mitzvah, well then you need to spend even more than a chomesh. Because the sheer quantity of bittul mitzvos asay that you're going to have throughout your life by not having a mezuzah on your door outweighs the fact that a normal mitzvah is only a one-time thing, and that's why for a one-time mitzvah we say don't spend more than 20%. But something that's just going to build on itself over and over and over again every single second of the day, so that's so important that you would even need to spend more than 20%. And he says it could be there's nafka minyan lenyan tshuva also. We know different levels of averos require different levels of tshuva. Mitzvah saseh different than lo saseh, and chiyuve misa even more. Different levels of averos require different levels of tshuva. So he says it could be that even though mezuzah is just a mitzvah saseh, it's not a lo saseh, but since it's an asay that keeps on happening over and over and over again, so it could be that for failure to do that mitzvah, it would require a higher form of tshuva. That was the chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. And the Minchas Chinuch says, don't think I'm crazy for saying this, because really I have a very strong source for this in the Ran in Maseches Yuma. So we really finished up with this last night and didn't really give it the full attention that it deserves. The Ran in Maseches Yuma. This Ran in Maseches Yuma serves as a springboard for much discussion in Achronim. It's a very Leibedik Ran for Achronish Arayd. The Achronim really have a good time with this Ran. The Ran of Maseches Yuma raises the question based on a Ravid. The Ravid was asked, B'loshon Hazeh, source number 13 in the Mar Makomos. The Ravid was asked, Im Haya Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana. Let's say you have someone who's dangerously ill. V'tzarech Lishchotho Tarnagolas. And you have to shecht the Tarnagolas for him to eat. The shayla that the rabbi was asked is: we know the halacha is if you have a cholosh yesh bo sakana and it's Shabbos, and the doctor takes one look at him and says chicken, he needs to eat chicken. That's the only way he's going to get better. And you look around the house and you don't have any chicken except for the live chicken in your backyard. So what do you do? So why is it that the halacha is you shech the chicken? Shouldn't we do better? Better to have a guy go and kill the chicken. A guy can't shecht, he's not kosher to do shechita. So let the guy go and kill the chicken. The animal will be nevela. Give the guy nevela to eat, which is nisr lav, rather than have a Jew go and shecht the chicken. Shechita is nisr skila. So that was the shaila that was asked to the Ravid. Why is it, and it's taken for granted that it is so, that we shecht an animal on Shabbos for a cholosh yesh bo sakana? Why don't we instead just have a guy shoot the animal, have a guy kill the animal, and feed the nevela to the sick, to the sick person, to the chola? So the Ravid says a very, very difficult teretz to understand. The Ravid writes, v'heshiv shazeh chola. I typed it up myself, so there are typos here. Shazeh chola is a isur omedu ma'akvo. When you have a person who's a chola and he needs chicken and there are no dead chickens, there are only live chickens, which avera is standing in his way, in the way of the chola, between himself and good health? If you were looking at this situation, you would say, ah, if it weren't for Shabbos, it would be no problem. You don't look at this chola in this situation and say, if it weren't for nevela, there would be no problem. Nevela is not an isser that's omeid lefanav. It's not an isser that's sitting in front of him to violate. There is no nevela in front of him. There's a live chicken in his backyard. There's no nevela. So you look at a live chicken, you look at the chola, the first thing that comes to your mind is obviously you want to shecht the live chicken. Elamai, it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to shecht the chicken. So since it's the isser Shabbos that's really standing in his way, it's not the isser nevela that's standing in his way, even though there is, you could do an end around and have a guy kill the chicken and then it will be nevela, but that's not the isser when looking at the situation that you would say is standing in the guy's way. Therefore, you're allowed to violate the isser that's standing in his way, even though it's an isser skila of chil Shabbos, rather than violate some other isser that's not standing in his way. That's the Ravid's answer. And the Ran says, b'mechilas kvodo, that answer is very difficult to grasp. First of all, that would work if you have a live chicken in your backyard. What if you had a live chicken in your backyard and non-kosher frozen chicken in your freezer, dead frozen chicken in your freezer, right? Non-kosher nevela chicken in your freezer. Then which isser is standing in his way? Right? Then it's both isserim are standing in his way. Then it should be obvious that the halacha should be that he should be able to eat nevela, and you should not be allowed to shecht the chicken. You always have to go with the lesser isser. And yet we know that's not the halacha. The halacha is you're always allowed to shecht the chicken.
What was it? The original case, he had meat in his...
The original case is he had no meat. All he had was a live chicken in his backyard. So his two options were either shecht the chicken or have a guy kill the chicken and the chicken will be a nevela. But at least you won't be violating the Yisra Shabbos of Shechita because a guy will do it.
So then how is that not also standing in front of you?
Right, that's the other problem. Who says which isser is standing in front of you? You're going to define that just because that's the first thing that comes to our minds, you know, when we're thinking completely inside the box and we refuse to think of, just a little bit outside the box of other possibilities. That means that isser Shabbos is standing in front of you, isser Nevela is not standing in front of you. Very, very difficult. So the Ran doesn't like the answer that the Ravid gives, and the Ran himself gives a different answer, and this answer of the Ran is the big one. The Ran says that the difference is the reason why you're allowed to the chicken is because if you're dealing with a chola who needs to eat a significant volume, a significant amount of chicken, he's going to have to eat several kazesim. And if he eats several kazesim, each kazayis of nevela that a person eats is a separate avera, a separate iser. But when it comes to the issur of shechting on Shabbos, you shecht one big fat chicken, and you get it's one aveira, one issur skila of shechting, and you'll be able to do many different, and you'll be able to eat many kizesim all from the one aveira. So what really is you, what the choice that you're really faced with is: should I violate one issur skila or 10 lavin of nevela by eating 10 kizesim? Which one is better? So that's why it's better to do the Issur Skila. Granted, Skila is worse than the Lav of Nevela, but not the Lav of Nevela times 10. If you can do the Lav of Nevela times 10, that becomes much worse. Minchas Chinuch says, oh, you see from that Ran, like I tell you many times, Minchas Chinuch loved this Ran, he made it famous, says, you see from this Ran that sometimes the quantity of Yisurim being violated over and over and over again can outweigh a more severe Issur. That and therefore, when you're dealing with mezuzah, even though normally you have certain rules of how much you're going to spend, but since it's something that's a bitul asay, every second you don't have a mezuzah, that it transcends a normal mitzvah asay. It becomes much bigger than a normal mitzvah asay. Yeah.
When you're shechting on Shabbos, wouldn't there be more than is it shkita, like the salting and like getting like organizing like what you're able to eat?
You could get around all those issues. You could take the ochel mitocha psolas.
Is it like the salting of meat?
The salting is that?
Yeah, like you're drawing the blood out, so like
you're
with
that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you only had to eat one kazayas of the nevela. Right, so it turned out, according to the Ran, right, that if you only had to eat one kazayas of the nevela, then certainly you should eat the nevela rather than shech the animal. Right, that's true. Yeah.
I don't think psychologically that might not be true, because you're chayav misa for the first one, right? So if you, meaning you would think that someone who kills someone is worse than someone who, let's say, does a minor avera worse 10 times, no?
Right. So good segue. The main discussion of this topic. And this is like the second day of Shir last year, right? The main discussion of this topic was found in the Sefer Lekach Tov, Rav Yosef Engel. I forgot to include in Yomar Mekomos, Lekach Tov Simen Tesvav, Klal Tesvav in Lekach Tov, where he has a long essay on the topic of quantity versus quality in mitzvahs, and he gives several examples. He gives 26 examples of where we see some sort of contradiction between quantity and quality in mitzvahs. And basically what it boils down to at the end is what you're saying, that it really depends how quantity the quantity is and how quality the quality is. I mean, if you're dealing with murder, so one-time murder is probably worse than, 10 times, I'll come up with something, I don't want to make fun of any avera, that it's small, but it's probably worse than 10 times a very small avera. Right, but if you're dealing with an avera that's just a little more chamor versus an avera that's a little less chamor, so then the quantity might add up. But he gives several examples throughout Shas. I'll just give you.
Can you base it on the punishment?
What?
Can you base that on the punishment?
That gives you some inkling, certainly, but it doesn't. It's not everything. Meaning.
It's a big difference between skila and whatever you
call. And a lav. Well, maybe a big, but not as big a difference as there is between, let's say, skila and a bitul asay. Right, meaning a lav is more severe than a bitul asay. So okay, there are. It's not purely based on punishment, even though punishment is very often a guide to let us know which averos are more severe. Yeah. So I'll give you a couple of examples, and then I want to move on to something else. The last example is an interesting one that he quotes from Magen Avraham in Reish Tzadi Aleph, in the name of the Sefer Chasidim. If a person has mazon beisu udos to Shabbos, you only have two meals worth for Shabbos. If you divide it into three sudos, you're not going to have kedei svia. You're not going to have enough to satisfy you for all three sudos. Mutav shiyochal bei sudos to svia vashlishes to tivata legamri. Better to not do sudashlishes and have two proper suudos. Umuchach, what does that show you? Dikiyum muat mitzvos ketiknan adif meharbe shelo ketiknan. Smaller number with greater quality is better than a greater number with smaller quality. If a greater number with smaller quality was better, you should have three sudos. Greater number, smaller quality, less food at each suuda. And he has several examples. Some of them are very lumdish, and some of them require a fairly decent knowledge of kachim. I'm just giving you a couple of the easy ones. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos and Parakimel Hakol Lefi Rov Hamaisa. The Rambam writes, "What does it mean Hakol Lefi Rov Hamaisa? Nisinas Meya Pa'amim Tzedaka." What's better, to give 100 prutos all at once, or to give one pruta at a time 100 times for tzedakah? So the Rambam says, "Hakolafi rov hamasa, not hakolafi godel hamasa." He says it's always based on the number of actions that you do. So va'afal pisha nesinas meir prutos kachas, he is spotless gedol yoser. Which is a greater act of tzedakah, giving one pruta or giving 100 prutos? Certainly 100 prutos is a greater act of tzedakah qualitatively, but the sheer quantity of the mitzvahs that you do by doing the act of giving tzedakah 100 times outweighs the greater quality of the mitzvah by making a greater impression by giving 100 at one time. So that's what he says. You see, the riboy akamus outweighs the echos. Those are the very, very simple examples that he gives. I'm not going to go through all of those. What I was interested in, though, is if you look in the very next klal, in Rav Yosef Engel, in Lekach Tov, he has a different discussion. Not about kamus versus echos, which, by the way, he starts that discussion of kamus versus echos with this ran, with the ran that the Minchas Chinuch quotes. Says that's the clear example in Rishonim, the most classic example in Rishonim, of quantity versus quality. But then in Klal Tazayin he says, "Bechlala kodem biyarnu iriba kamus machrias eichus." Previously we discussed quantity versus quality. Upoa varbez shem yisparuch iriba yazman machrias eichus. What about time versus quality? Quantity, quality. Okay, we had a discussion. What if it's not quantity? It's just longer period of time. Does that outweigh a higher quality of mitzvah or aveira? If you have an isser chamur and another isser that's kal, the only thing is that the chamur one is a one-time isser, the kal one, the lighter isser, will be ongoing. So is it better to violate the isser kal that's going to be ongoing, or the isser chamur that will be one time and will be over? So I just thought, if the Minchas Chinuch was going to come up with something to compare his case to of mezuzah, where mezuzah is on your door or not on your door every single second, it's not an issue of kamus, of quantity. It's the same mitzvah. It's an issue of zman, that the mitzvah of mezuzah is one that starts from the moment you buy your house and it continues through the entire time that you're there. It's an issue of zman, not an issue of really kamus versus echos. It's zman versus echos. And he gives an example. He says the classic example is the Gemara in Maseches Vachem, Daf Tzadiyam Beis, Daf Peites really starts, where it discusses, we know the famous klal, Tadir Vishenu Tadir Tadir Kodem, that if you have two mitzvos and one is more commonly practiced, the one that's more commonly practiced comes first in terms of ordering brachos. Which one you should do first, you always do the one that's more commonly practiced. So for instance, if you make early Shabbos and you realize at the end of your meal that it's already past Seis HaKochavim and now you have to repeat Kriya Shema and you have to bench, so which one do you do first? So Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodim tells you Kriya Shema is twice a day. Benching, you're only chayiv to do three times a week, three meals of Shabbos and Yontif, also, but still it doesn't come near the amount of times they have to do Kriya Shema. So the Kriya Shema is Tadir, you would do Kriya Shema first. Just parenthetically, by the way, if you make early Shabbos, the halacha is that Shalosh Seudos, the three meals you eat on Shabbos, is totally off topic, it just came to my mind. Three meals that you eat on Shabbos, you really, by since we learn out the mitzvah of three meals on Shabbos from the fact that it says Hayom, Hayom, Hayom three times, so it says Hayom, even though you're allowed to be Mosif Mechol Al Kodesh, you could start Shabbos early, the Kiyum of Su'udas Shabbos may have to be on Shabbos itself, after Tetz Chavim, the actual day of Shabbos. And therefore, even though you start your meal early, a person should be makbid to try to have a kazayis of challah after Tzeis HaKochavim. When Rav Shechter came to my shul for Shabbos, I picked him up from the train. He took the Long Island Railroad in because he insisted on no one coming to the city to pick him up. So he took long on the railroad in. So I picked him up from the train, and as you know, the 10-minute ride from Valley Stream to North Woodmere, he's telling me the story how he was in Germany and the Shabbos was like at 11 o'clock at night. So they all made early Shabbos and they were in this yeshiva, and the boys in the yeshiva all finished their meal, and he and one other visiting rav, you know, kept a little bit of challah around until after Tzeis HaKochavim, and they ate, you know, kazayas after Tzeis HaKochavim. It was like 11:30 at night, and the boys in the yeshiva picked up on it, and they realized, hey, why did they keep some challah around? And they asked, what's going on? And apparently the Rosh Yeshiva never instructed the boys that this is what they're supposed to do, so it was a good teachable moment. So I'm like, of all the stories to tell me, why in the world is he telling me this story? Then I realized that after I dropped him off where he was staying, it dawned on me, we're making early Shabbos this week, and we scheduled him to speak at 9:30. And Tzeis HaKochavim was like 9:18. So he realized that if he speaks at 9:30, he's never going to be able to eat a kazayis of challah after Tzeis HaKochavim. So he's trying, he doesn't want to be mean, he doesn't want to tell me straight out. So he starts hinting to me, he tells me this maisa, you know, maisa shaya. So I got up in shul on Friday night, and I said, I told over that maisa that Rav Schechter told me, and I said, and I think the Rosh Yeshiva was being very kind and was just trying to hint us. So, Mirz Hashem, we're going to start 9:40 tonight because Mustama the Rosh Yeshiva wants to eat a kazayis and also be able to bench before he comes in and speaks. So we started 9:40 instead of 9:30. We gave him time to eat a kazayis. But why did I say? Oh, because Tadir Shena Tadir. So Tadir Shena Tadir Tadir Kod. Then you're supposed to do the Tadir first. But there's another rule in the Gemara that gets less attention, which is Makudosh V'Sheinu Makudosh Makudosh Kodem. If you have two things, one of them is more Makudosh than the other, the one that's more Makudosh comes first. So the Gemara raises the Shaila. Okay, but what if the one that's more Tadir is less Makudosh? The one that's more Makudosh is less Tadir. Then which one comes first? So he says Lechora. Who has suffix shalanu? The mekudosh yeshlo mala echutis. Mekudosh is a qualitative issue, and tadir yeshlo mala riboy hasman. Tadir is time related. It just happens all the time. It's not multiple mitzvahs. It's just bizman and merubim, the same mitzvah that comes up over and over and over again. So he says, that shaila, which is nibayid lo ifshita, the Gemara doesn't answer that shaila. Which one is better? The Gemara doesn't have a clear raya which one is better. That is this shaila of whether zman beats out quality. So you have, he has a couple of examples of where we have this conflict between zman and quality. For instance, I'll just give you again just the easy ones. The Gemara Brachos Yud Aleph and Beis, Machlokas, Ahava Rabba or Ahavas Olam? Which one is better? Ahava Rabba or Ahavas Olam? That's, you know, just language, right? Ahava Rabba is great love. Ahavas Olam is everlasting love. Great is qualitative. Everlasting is zman. So that issue, he says, is related to this suffix of something that's everlasting versus something that's zman related. Shabbos Taf Chav Gimel. Amr Bishur Ben Levi, Kol Hashmanim Yafin L'Ner. All oil is good for Ner Chanukah. V'Shemen Zayis Min HaMuvchar. Shemen Zayis is best. Amr Abayim, Mireshav Mahadamar Amishcha Deshum Shmi. I used to be makbid to have sesame oil, Amar Hay Mashich Nehurei Tfei, because it keeps the candle going for longer. Kivan de Shama Lahadra Bishur Ben Levi Mahadra Shem Mashcha Dezesa. But once I heard that olive oil is the best, I started being makbid on olive oil. Amar Hay Tzolil Nehurei Tfei. Why? What makes olive oil better? Better quality light. What's the issue? Quality of light versus zman. How long it's going to stay lit. So you see that Rabbah was Masupak on this. Meikara originally thought that the Milas Riboyas man was better. And then he heard about the great quality of olive oil. And he said, you know what? The quality beats out the Zman that it's going to last. So again, he has several other examples, Nazir Mem Zayin. I don't want to go through all the examples. Beautiful piece from Yosef Engel. And then he says, okay. So I had one long essay with 26 examples of quantity versus quality. And then I had another essay where I discuss zman versus quality. So, Tzarech Ladas, Ode Bebeis HaNosim Ha'ela, what about if you put my two essays together? Dehainu, Riboy HaKamus, Riboy HaZman. What if it's quantity versus time? So what would you do then? Which one is better? So he says, okay, he has a Gemara in Erevin Kvavtalit. Okay, I don't want to get through the whole piece, but very, sorry?
What's an example of
quality versus, okay, we'll go through an example. So, Babasra, Dav Gimlam Ra'alif, he says. The Gemara says, Gadol Yeh Kavra Bayis Hazeh Achron Min Arishon. This is an easy example also. The Gemara says that the Bayis HaAchron, the second base of Migdash, the Kavra, the second base of Migdash, is Gadol Min Arishon. So Machlokes in the Gemara, what does it mean that it's Gadol? That it's Gadol. The second one is Gadol Min Arishon. So Rav Shmuel Varmil Rabbi Yochanan Ben Elazar Chad Amar Bibinyan, meaning that the second base of Migdash was 100 amos tall, first base of Migdash was only 30 amos. Of 40 amos tall. I don't know how it says mea amos. That's not true. It's 40 versus 30. No, it's not mea versus 30. It's totally off. Right? So it's 40 versus 30. And v'chad amar b'shanim. And the other one says that no, that it's in the amount of years. That the bayis sheni stood for 420 years, bayis rishon for only 410 years. So he says, what are they arguing about? This issue. When the pasuk tells us that the bayis sheni was gadol from the rishon, which point is the pasuk highlighting? Now, both are really true. It was both, the second one was taller and lasted longer. But if the pasuk is saying that there's a gadlus of the second bayis, the pasuk must be relating to the greatest gadlus. What is the greatest gadlus? That's the machlokas. Is it lasting longer? Or is it the fact that it's bigger, that it's taller?
Bigger is more of a quality than, isn't it?
You say bigger is more of a quality than a quantity. He assumes that it's, I hear that. He's right, he's assuming that it's quantity. Okay, you could have put that in the quality category also. I hear that. Okay, I'll give you another example then. See if another one works. Let's see. Sheretz Erevin Kuf Dalet and Beis. Sheretz Shenimtza B'Migdash. Kohen Motzio B'Hamayno. If a Kohen finds a Sheretz in the Beis HaMigdash, he should take it in his Avnate, wrap it in the belt, and carry it out. Shelo Lishol Ses HaTumah. So not leave the Tumah in the Beis HaMigdash. Why? Da'ad Sheyachsu L'Havi Tzava Shel Eitz. She Pshutei Kli Eitz. Sheinu Mekabelis Tumah V'Yotzi'enu Bo. Because if you're going to wait till he grabs a plank of wood to be able to pick up this Sheretz that's in the Beis HaMigdash, in order to schlep the Sheretz out, Hari Tisha HaTumah B'in HaTayim B'Migdash, the Tumah is going to be sitting there in the Beis HaMigdash the whole time. V'alkein Mutav Sheyitameh HaAvnate. Better to be Metame the Avnate, which is a piece of clothing. Clothing is Mekabel Tumah, it's a Kli. We don't often think of this because we don't dip clothing in the mikvah. But back in the days when they were Makbid on Tumantara, clothing is a Kli, like any other Kli that becomes Tame. So better to be Metame the Avnate, which is a Kli, V'yotzien miyad milisho sesatuma b'migdash, from leaving the Tumah in the Migdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Betzava shaleit shalol the rabbel sesatuma. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, better to get a plank of wood and bring it out. What's the issue? Says Rav Yosef Engel, if you leave it in there longer, that's zman. If you allow the avnate to become tame from it, that's kamus. Because now you're allowing more things, more items to become tame. For a shorter zman, right? Problematic tumah for a shorter zman, but more items are becoming tame. So that's kamus versus zman. That wouldn't work? Okay, good. Okay, so we won't do any more then. Okay, but you can take a look. It's a very enjoyable piece. I always love reading Rav Yosef Engel. It's excellent. Always good fun. Little tours through Shas. Okay, so that was the first inyan in terms of the value of mezuzahs. The Rambam says that it's supposed to inspire you. The Sefer HaChinuch highlights this idea that it's every second, and the tmidius of it is what provides the inspiration, because you can't go a second without being surrounded by a mezuzah, which is always going to remind you to stay on the straight and narrow. Now, if you look at the tour, so tour first quotes the Rambam, tour in Sim Reish Pei Hei, source number 15. Mitzvah lichtov pash shema vayim shema lekoven al mezuzah sapesach tachsiv uksatam al mezuzah beisachov yisharecha v'tzorech li zar ma'od ba. You need to be very careful about mezuzah. Kamo shamru chazal kol nishi yesh l'tfilin brosh al mezuzah v'tziz bigdo al mezuzah v'pischo muchzak u'shlo yechtam nishi yesh b'mezuzah yichudu shal kodosh baruch hu. You have mezuzah and tzitzis and tfilin, you're not going to do averos because you have Hashem surrounding you. V'tamir b'bo b'tzeiso yizkar yichudu shal kodosh baruch hu. You'll always remember that Hashem's there when you're going in and out. V'yitin yiras al panav v'vilti yechta. And you'll always have yiras Hashem, you're not going to be able to do an avera because you'll always be reminded. Halavai, it should work as well as it's supposed to, right? V'kaler zayir ba. So that's one. That's the Rambam, right? It's going to be a reminder you're not going to do averos. Then he says, "V'kol azariba yarichu yamav v'imei banav." if you're careful about mezuzah, second benefit. Not only will you not be a sinner, not only will you be a big tzaddik and you'll have Yiras Shamayim, you'll also live very long and your children will live long lives. D'chsiv, and he says, this isn't any heebie-jeebie sefer where this comes from. It's a pasuk. You say it every day. L'man yirbu yimeichem v'meivim v'neichem. What's the purpose of mezuzah? Pasuk says, so that, l'man, so that, yirbu yimeichem v'meiv v'neichem. You will have a long life and your children will have a long life. V'meinu zayirba, and if you're not careful about it, now this part the pasuk doesn't say. If you're not careful about it, yiskatru, your life will be shortened. But that doesn't say that anywhere. So is it? Yeah, but the mechal hein at the shemei alav. In general, when the Torah tells you something positive, you can figure out the flip side. So if I tell my kid, you go and you clean your room, and I will buy you, ice cream or something, so he can deduce that if he doesn't clean his room, he's not getting dinner. Right? That's what he said, right? You can make the assumption that if you don't, that when I tell you I'm going to give you something positive, when you do something good, if you don't do that something good, I'm not only going to not give you the positive, I'm going to give you the opposite of that positive. I'm going to do the exact opposite. Mechlal hein ato shemei alav, and therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us to do mezuzah, you'll have arichus yamim. You don't do mezuzah, you're going to die. L'chein darshu chachamim, and that's where Chazal got the idea, ba'avon mezuzah banav u'benosav mesim katanim. This is on that scary list of averos, that because of these averos, children die when they're young. The Gemara in Nedarim, and Nazir, I think, says that Nedarim is another one of those averos. A person violates Nedarim. Banav u'bneis av meisim k'shem k'tanim. That's why we do Ataras Nedarim during Yom Noraim. We want to make sure that, something that's the most precious thing to us, to have having our children, which is so precious to us, that's what people think about very often around the times of Yom Noraim is their children. So you want to make sure that you didn't do anything that's going to cost them their lives. So you do Ataras Nedarim. You take care of the banim ubanos. So that's so over here also mezuzah is another one of those mitzvahs. That ba'avon mezuzah, not putting up mezuzah, but also mesim k'shem k'tanim, any darshan is a pasuk that seems to indicate as such. Fine. So that's reason number two. Reason number three, says the Torah. Ugdolim izeh, shabayis nishmar al yada. And even more than that, the house is protected by the mezuzah. This is what we discussed already. This is the Gemara. Gemara says this already. Kemo shadarshu pasukei shamrecha v'gomer, melch basa v'dami b'fnim v'avadu shomer osu mibachutz, v'atem yishenim al mitaschem ha-kurush baruch hu shomer eska mibachutz. Unlike a regular king where he sits in his inner room and he has all the guards on the outside, we sit comfortably and HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards us on the outside. So that's the shmira that we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomer eska mibachutz al karchach, and that's why you put it on the outermost tefach of the doorway, so that the entire house inside of that spot is all protected by the mezuzah. Now, if I were to ask you, three benefits that you can get from doing a mitzvah. Number one, you can benefit being a big tzaddik. Number two, you could live a very long life and your children could live a very long life. Number three, your house won't get robbed. Which one would you say is the gedola mizeh, is the gadol shabakula? And don't start giving me kamos and echos in zman, right? Which one is the greatest? Is the greatest benefit intuitively, emotionally? Which one is the greatest benefit? Life, probably, right? And your children's life. One would imagine that, or maybe being a tzaddik. I know which one isn't. Protecting your home. I mean, it's important, when you compare it to other things in life, but not when you're comparing it to life itself, and you're comparing it to avodas ha'adam ba'olamo, about serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. But yet, this is the one that we say gedolim izu. Torah says this is the greatest one, gedolim izu. So this perplexes all of the achronim. Anyone who came after the Torah wonders why the Torah used such a lashon of gedolim izu. So look at Beis Yosef, source number 19. We'll get back to the Beis Hillel later.
Does it say from Rabbi, there? It says your house will be watched.
Be watched.
It can be a spiritual sense, in which case it might even include the other two.
It might include the other two, that's true. That's one possibility. It could include spiritual mazikim, although hard to imagine, because if you're a tzaddik, you're a tzaddik. You know what I'm saying? Like, what does it mean, spiritual nazikim? That you have bechir chavshus, you could do even the mezuzah. You have bechir chavshus, just a spiritual incentive. It's a reminder. It's like a guy in yeshiva versus a guy who's out in the middle of somewhere that's the spiritual wasteland. Obviously, the guy in yeshiva has a better chance, but it's hard to imagine. That's what the shmira. You know, that's what Shmira means. Shmira might mean that it will protect you from dangers, from physical dangers. And might relate to that as well. But he does sound like it's a third reason. Not like it's the same as the other two. That Shmira is something else. That it's not just covering the other two. So Beis Yosef writes, V'yafal gav di yoser chaviv la'adam arichus yamim mishmir sabayis. Even though obviously people do prefer their lives to their homes. Not so pashut, right? The Gemara in Brachos, when it darshens the Pesukim in Shema, Yesh Lecha Adam, that Mamonos Chavvel of Yosher Migufo, that likes his money more than his life. The Gemara even seems to associate Tzadikim with that feeling sometimes, that they really, really care about their money because it's earned in such honest ways. Yaakov Avinu, Pachim Ketanim, Tzadikim are very, very careful with their money. But okay, but the Beis Yosef assumes what we would have assumed without any other Gemaras, without getting fancy, that a person does prefer life to protecting his house. So he says, what's the Gedol Mizu? He says, the Gedol Mizu is in the level of the miracle. Mishum d'arichas yamim hu nes nistar, shmir sabayis hu nes nigla. Arichas yamim, you know, some people live long, some people don't. It's not really a nes nigla when a person lives to a ripe old age. A lot of people live to a ripe old age. Fastest growing segment of the American population is the 100 plus age group, the people who are over 100 years old. That's a lot of people live to an old age, thank God, very nice. Is that a nes? Not a nes nigla, it's certainly not a recognizable nes. He got lucky, didn't get sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make, you know, give him any illness or any accidents. As opposed to, if you live in a city, you live in the middle of, well, it used to be Harlem. I think Harlem is becoming a fancier neighborhood now. But whatever, you know, pick your city. You live in Valley Stream, and all the other houses are getting robbed, and your house isn't. It's like this one place that's like free from all troubles. So says Beis Yosef, that's a nes nigla. Everyone's going to look at that. That really sticks out. Obviously, what's more valuable to you is Arichas Yamim, for sure. But what's a greater nes? What's a greater show of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power? Greater show of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power is the protection that you get. You like that one? Me neither. No, why don't you like it?
Let's say you don't live in Harlem.
Right. It only works if everyone's getting robbed. And no one's dying young, you know. I mean, it only works if. What if you're in a situation where everyone is dying of the plague at the age of whatever, in their teenage years or something, and you're the old guy. You're 85, 95 years old, whatever it is. You're the, you know. So that's not a nes nigla. I mean, it's very subjective. So he gives another answer. Inami mishum deshmir sabayis hu hefech minag melech shel basar v'dam shumi b'fnim v'avadim mishar v'osumi b'chutz karele gadol. Says gadol is not what's more valuable to us. It's what's a greater show of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. That since HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the house, that's what makes it gadol, because that's abnormal. A king to want to give good health and whatever if he can to his subjects and let them, you know, live well, that's great. It's abnormal for the king to put himself on the front line. It's more normal for the king to just shower us with good things. But for him to put himself on the front line and protect us on the inside, that's completely abnormal. So if it's more abnormal for a king, that's the Maila. Okay. The Bach, my favorite answer, or one of my favorites, says the Bach, source number 20, second paragraph, Avalothiani is daiti nira dahachikama. Vigodal mize, dilol levad shakarosh baruch hu nosin adam scharo. Al-Kiyu mitzvazu. It's like a missing kuf there. It's not only that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a person a schar for this mitzvah, dahainu arichas yamim hu banav, that he and his children are going to have an arichas yamim. Ela avzeda mitzvah atzma hi shomeres beso sha'al yoda nishmar abayis mikol hezek. The mitzvah itself protects his house. Masha'inkin b'shar kol mitzvos, as opposed to other mitzvos, tafagav denemun yisparach sheishan ladim schar lasad al-Kiyu mitzvaso, you will get schar for fulfilling mitzvos, lasad lavo, that's great, But mikol makom ein magia lo shum hana'a v'revach miguf kiyum ha-mitzvah ba'atzma. What's he saying? What do you think he's saying over there? So the difference between the schar of the mitzvah and the revach from the etzem kiyum ha-mitzvah, from the etzem ha-mitzvah. What are those two things?
I mean, the gadol is just not—it's not going on the other two qualifications and mitzvahs that the gadol is going on, as opposed to other mitzvahs. Is that what he's saying?
Might be what he's saying. It might be what he's saying, but still, what's he talking about though? What's special about mezuzah over other mitzvahs?
That not only do you get schar for having the mezuzah up, you get an inherent, like, another added bonus to doing the mitzvah that you're able to see.
Right. What I think he's saying is that the shmirah of the bayis is not the schar for the mitzvah. Schar for the schar mitzvah hayal maleka. Who knows what the schar for the mitzvah? Oh, well, we do know a little bit. L'man yirbu yimechem v'mevenechem. That's schar for the mitzvah. When the Torah says l'man yirbu yimechem, so the Torah is telling you that's the schar that you get for the mitzvah. That's the schar for the mitzvah. When we're told you get arichus yom for kibbut aveim, that's the schar mitzvah. Arichus yom for kibbut aveim. Great. That's the schar. When the mezuzah protects your house, it's not the schar for the mitzvah. That's just naturally what the mitzvah does. It's like if you have if you happen to wear a bulletproof garment and with four corners, and you put tzitzis on it, so someone shoots you and it goes right into the bulletproof garment. So it's not the schar of the mitzvah that you're protected from the schar of the mitzvah. Who knows what the schar of the mitzvah is? It's just practical because you had that extra garment that protected you. It saved you. The shmirah of the mezuzah is not the schar of mezuzah. That's just the nature of the way mezuzah works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria that mezuzah protects. It's what we were referring to last night as the skulas ha-mitzvah. What mezuzah does, what it accomplishes, and there are Talmudic sources for this, because we wouldn't make stuff up like this, that mezuzah protects. That's the nature of mezuzah. Very similar to, the example I always like to give is, let's say you really like salad. You eat salad every day. You love to eat salad. Let's take a different example. You really like matzah. You love crackers. So when you eat matzah and you're thinking, it's delicious, I love this stuff. We just found, my wife was cleaning up tonight, she just found the afikoman. So we got a big mouth of them. So you really love matzah. So when you're eating matzah, you're thinking, I love this stuff. So is that the schar of the mitzvah? The schar of the mitzvah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have your favorite treat tonight. You get to eat matzah and you love eating matzah. That's your schar. You love wine and you get to drink wine in the night of the Seder. That's your schar of the mitzvah. That's not your schar. It's just natural that you happen to like this food and the mitzvah is to eat it. You know, you love shawarma. You get to eat a Karban Pesach wrapped in a lafa, which is what it was. Right? So that's great. You get to do karich. You get to eat shawarma on the night of the Seder. Fantastic. That's not the schar of the mitzvah. That's just by nature. That's the benefit, the enjoyment you get from the mitzvah. So that's what the Bach is saying. It's a natural consequence of the mitzvah. You have this by Averus also. You have this on the flip side also. Very important to realize. A lot of times, let's say a person, Rahman al-Slan, you have a pregnant woman doing drugs, right? So what's going to happen? The baby's going to come out all messed up, right? They could have major, major problems. So is that the punishment? That's the onesh for what she did? No, it's just a natural consequence. That's just what happens. The onesh, who knows what kind of punishment she's going to get? But the baby doesn't get punished. What did he do wrong? No, it's just a natural consequence. He's not getting punished. That's just naturally what happens. That's the natural thing that comes out of it. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria. That there are certain consequences for our actions. So on the positive side of consequences, a mezuzah protects. That's not the schar of the mitzvah. It's just a natural consequence of the mitzvah. So that's the Bach's insight. I thought it was a beautiful insight. My brother, in his notes on Hilchos Mezuzah, he has notes on everything. So if you look in the back of your pack, at the very last page, Ha'aros Ubiyurim. So in his notes on Hilchos Mezuzah suggests, I think you could read it into the Beis Yosef what he says, but he elaborates much more clearly. If you look in the last paragraph in the right hand column, so. He writes, he has about 100-page kuntras on Hilchos Mezuzah that he sent me a while ago, so I was just looking through it. He writes, he has 100-page kuntras and everything. Ulanias Daiti, it's true, he just sent me yesterday, I just put together a little thing on Shechita, 100-page kuntras on Shechita, okay. Ulanias Daiti Nira, Shekavanas Hatur, that what the Torah means, Masha Kasav Gedolim Izu, L'Rameis Lanu Yisod Gadol Amarumas Mitzvah Mezuzah. Big Yisod that he's trying to teach us in the Mitzvah Mezuzah. So he says, in order to explain it, you need to know the Gemara of Odezari Yiral Femenal. We saw the Gemara last night with Uncle Sager, that all the people are coming to convert him, and Uncle Sager, and with the last group, he touches the mezuzah on his way out, and they say, hey, well, you know, he says, hey, what do you think that is? They say, well, we don't know, why don't you tell us? And he tells them, Min Hago Shalalam, on the top of the left-hand column now, Melech Basar V'dam, Yoshim Yimfnim, V'avadim Misham Rosim B'chutz, V'ilach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'avadim Yimfnim, V'um Misham B'chutz. Look how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. V'yisod B'zehu. So what's the Yisod? Shabbas V'dam Kvodo Shamelech V'galuso Talui Al Minyan Ha'anashim V'koach Hayalosav. What makes a melech a powerful melech? Why is the President of the United States, even though he doesn't have unlimited powers, he's controlled by Congress and he's controlled by the Constitution, why is he considered a more powerful person than the president, than the king of, name, you know, fill in random third world country in Africa? What makes the president more powerful? That guy doesn't have, he can kill off half his country and no one will know the difference. No one will, you know, he has, if he doesn't have the constitutional rights in his country, he'll write a new one. He can do whatever he wants. You make a bracha on him, not so pasha that you make a bracha on the president. Why do we consider the President of the United States more powerful? Because the President of the United States has a very powerful country over which he presides. He has a lot of people. It's not because he has any koach or maila. It's because he's able to... Okay, well, I won't get political. It's not because he has any koach or maila. It's because he's over a very large group of people. Umishum hachi ha-melech hu b'fnim, v'avadav shom rosim b'chutz. And that's why the melech is on the inside, the avadim are on the outside. To the extent that he has avadim on the outside, that's what makes him a melech. The fact that he has avadim watching him. Klomer shekol kocha shom melech hu mashi yesh avadim ram, l'shom rosim b'chutz. That's his whole koach. It's not so. The godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inherent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great because that's what he is. Whether we're here or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great. So he doesn't need his avadim, you know, watching him in order to show his greatness. Ela adraba, who shomer avadav? V'zeu haremez shel mezuzah. That's the remez of mezuzah. Uba karazu etziach unklus l'skayer kol hakas hazos. That's what got them. That's what got them. Why would the mezuzah get them? Now Hashem is watching us, you know, mibachutz. No, it's what that means. That means that Kodesh Baruch Hu has something to him, that it's not dimyon, that it's not just, you know, that we ascribe importance to things. There are certain things that we know are inherently important and certain things that are important. I always give the mashal. Why is it more important whether a guy that I watch on television puts a big orange round ball through a hoop than if my 3-year-old son playing basketball in the driveway, my 5-year-old son, last time I saw the mashal was 2 years ago, my 5-year-old son playing basketball in the driveway puts that same ball through a similar hoop. What makes that more important? You know what makes it more important? Is that there are millions of dollars riding on that, there are people's jobs riding on that. Why? Because we're a bunch of idiots. We ascribe importance to it, and we throw millions of dollars into it. So that's what makes it important. Is it inherently valuable? It's inherently nothing. It inherently means nothing. So the Lahavdil, the difference between a melech like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no one like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ain't kelukin, but a melech, you know, a melech malchei melachim versus another melech is that qualitatively, inherently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chashuv. So v'zel b'emes tainasu shal Avram Avinu, and he says that's exactly the tain of Avram Avinu in the Medrash. Medrash in Parshas Noach says Avram Avinu breaks all of the tzlamim, all the idols of his father. His father comes back and says, "Man avadun kadein, who did all this?" So Avram says, "It's the big guy in the corner over there. He's the one." He points to one of the idols. See that big tough looking idol? He got so angry he went around the room and he destroyed all of them. Father says, "That's ridiculous. You think I'm going to buy that story? The idol can't move. He can't do anything. Doesn't have any abilities." And Avram Avinu says, "See? He can't do anything. And yet, he's what you bow to. That's what you worship." Avram Avinu is making that same point. The only quality that the Avodah Zarah has is the fact that you're willing to give it kavod. Absent the kavod that you're giving, Rav Nevenzel has a beautiful piece on this. It's about how when we give something kavod, we actually give it koach. And he says that's what Rachel Imenu was doing by sitting on the truffin. She was trying to show that she was being mevatelit. She was showing that it means nothing, that it's a piece of garbage. So that koach habitul, the fact that you take when something has a when something is only it's all old kochos or just dimyon, when you mevatel it, when you show a disrespect to it, it takes away all of its kochos. So he says that's so says my brother. So nimsenu lemedim shalidei mezuzah anu makirim shlo kvinis hakadosh baruch hu midas basar v'dam sheitz hakadosh baruch hu gadluso hu mitzad atzmo shu atzmo gadol muhul al meshubach muchubad. He himself is so great. So not because there are other people that are praising him. That's what the Torah means. First he says, yeah, mezuzah reminds us that Hashem is there, like the Rambam says. Then he says, ugdolu mizu. Shemaram is gamkin ala hevdel bin kochosh al malchei basar v'dam v'kochosh al abor yisparach shemel. It's not just that Hashem is there and Hashem protects us, but it's the what that means about who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Shalitzal Bori Yisbaruch Kocho Kvodo Hu Mitzad Atzmo Mitzad Maloso Lo Mimei Shacherim Mechabdim Meshab Chavoso Ulefiza Gedolim Yizu Lo Koyal Schara Mitzvah. Gedolim Yizu isn't that this is the greatest reward, it's the greatest statement about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Gedolim Yizu. Shalitzal Schara Mitzvah Shapirik Shabbos Yosef. If we're about the Schara Mitzvah, of course, Arich Yom is better. But remes hamitzvah hamusr shalom demena shaper kasevator gedolim yizu. What do we say every day? Adon olam, asher malach b'terem kol yitzir nivra. Right. So, how does it go? Right. That before he was asher malach b'terem kol. Before anything was there, he was already malach. Yeah. After he created everything, then shemo nikra. Then he was called the malach. He was always a melech, though. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech inherently. It's just that he's called a melech when there are people to call him a melech. When there are no people to call him a melech, he's still a melech. Shar malach b'terem kol. That's the idea. That's the that I thought that was my favorite answer, my brother's answer. He's good. So, okay. Now it affords us this great protection. The mitzvah. You had a question? Sorry, no. So the mezuzah affords us this great protection. It's wonderful. But the Achronim and Rebbe Beis Yosef says in Kesef Mishnah of Yosef Cairo says you have to be very careful. We don't do mezuzah for protection. Mezuzah may give protection, but if you do it for protection, then it won't give protection. It's one of those things you have to do with the Shei Mitzvah if it's going to give protection. So if you may have seen at some point getting into a cab in Israel, a mezuzah hanging on the rearview mirror, or someone wearing a mezuzah around their neck or something like that, why do they do that? It's based on the Gemara. They think that the mezuzah is going to protect them. But absent the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the mezuzah does not give protection. I found there's one tshuva that seems to imply otherwise, but if you look carefully at it, it doesn't really. If you look at the tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov in Chel Gimelson Peites, I only gave you a little snippet of the Shvus Yaakov, which doesn't do it justice. Shvus Yaakov discusses a very complicated issue of joint ownership of a building between a Jew and a non-Jew, and whether it's chayiv and mezuzah or not. And with the particulars of the case, which B'li Neder we'll get into at some later date, with the particulars of that case, the Shvus Yaakov came out that lefi rov haposkin, that particular situation should not require a mezuzah. But then he says, but you know what? Mezuzah protects. You should put a mezuzah up anyway, because mezuzah gives protection. So it almost makes it sound like that even though there's no mitzvah of mezuzah, it's still going to protect. So that's the one Maramakum I found that makes it almost sound like it could protect even absent the Kiyum HaMitzvah, even if you're not doing the mitzvah. But if you look at it carefully, it's not at all what he's saying. What he's really saying is as follows. That case, and again, we're going to leave out the details of that case, but that case is a case where, let's say, 90% of poskim say that it does not require mezuzah, 10% would say it does require mezuzah. When you're dealing with Isser V'Heter, in that kind of situation, so you'd follow the majority of poskim, you'd follow the overwhelming majority of poskim that would say it doesn't need mezuzah. But whenever you're dealing with a mezuzah shaila, what Shvus Yaakov is really saying, whenever you're dealing with a mezuzah shaila, it's not only an Isser V'Heter shaila, it's a sakana shaila. It's a shaila sakana. What's the rule by sakana? Chamira sakanta me'isura. Sakana is treated more stringently than Isser is treated. That's why, according to some of the poskim, on the Shulchan Aruch, Machlokas Shach Taz about this, we know that if Isser, if you have a little bit of nevela, that falls into your chicken soup, into your chalent, or whatever, as long as there's 60 times the chalent, the nevela becomes batel. What if you have a little bit of poison that falls into your chalent? So it does become batel, it's not batel b'shishim. So poison is an extreme example, because we know it could still be potent even in small amounts. What if you have something like fish and meat, right, assuming that it was sakana, the Gemara says that it's also because of sakana, fish and meat. So a little bit of fish falls into the meat, you say that it's going to be batel, so it's machloka shachtas, not so pashur. It could be chamir sakanta meyasura, since sakana is so much more chamur, so you have to, when Rav Shach was by my house for Shabbos, I noted that my father-in-law was offered him a l'chaim before we started the meal. He said, I'll wait till after the fish. And after the fish, he gave him a l'chaim and he had a l'chaim. So I wrote up notes of everything I learned over the course of Shabbos, so whatever, 10, 11 pages of notes that I learned over the one Shabbos from him, and I had a line in there that he dafka waited to have a l'chaim after fish, presumably to wash out the mouth from fish before the meat comes. And I sent it to his son to make sure I got everything right. He said, no, he's not makbid at all about that. He was just being polite. He eats fish and meat with the same fork without washing it. He's not makbid at all about that. And Magen Avraham says that we no longer know of any sort of danger with fish and meat, so you don't have to be makbid about it. But let's assume that there was some sort of danger, that it caused some sort of... So chamir sakanta meisur wouldn't become batel b'shishim. So what the Shvus Yaakov is really saying is, a mezuzah shayla is not just an isra shayla. If it was an isra shayla, you'd follow 90% of the poskim. But if 90% of the poskim tell you that there's no poison in here, and 10% of the poskim tell you that there is poison, so then you say, okay, I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to stay away. A mezuzah shayla is also a sakana shayla. For sakana, you choshesh even for a shita of the meat. That's what he's that's what Shvus Yaakov is really saying. He's not saying when there's absolutely no kiyum to just hang it on your rearview mirror. That does nothing. Saying when there's a shayla about it, you'll be choshesh for a das of miyut aposkim, to worry about that sakana. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll definitely finish up this pack and maybe start the next issue as well. I'll go back to that Beis Hillel, Mr. Shem, tomorrow, and then we'll get into real Hilchos Mezuzah. The nitty gritty.